In theory, college is voluntary. One chooses to go. In reality, few students understand why they are there. Some, of course, know that they want to be doctors, lawyers, engineers, or architects. But that just changes the question. Even for these pursuits, bachelor's degrees were not always required. In some countries, they still are not. Nor are they required for members of the corresponding trades. Laboratory technicians, mechanics, carpenters, and court clerks. Yet the trades demand their own skills, and sometimes even pay better. So again, why college? Why is Randy, the future journalist, expected to be there, but not his cousin, the future printer? If there is a reason for being in college that most students have in common, it is not exactly to please their parents, keep pace with their friends, or train for better jobs. But it is not quite anything else either. Though most students express uncertainty about their future careers, most will admit that they are in college because, in general, they want the kinds of lives led by doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, not the kinds led by technicians, typists, carpenters, and cooks. Their goal is often negative. Not securing certain jobs, but steering clear of certain others. Thus, the underlying fact about students is that they are would-be elites. College is designed to accustom the young to professional or managerial futures and prepare them for entry into the ruling knowledge class. Yet this phenomenon points up the greatest problem in democratic societies today: their division into a two-leveled class structure. Students desperately seek admission into the powerful, educated class, as well as escape from the permanent wage-laboring class. While in college, they become isolated, adjusting to life in institutions where it is not necessary to meet the unenlightened at all. For the sons and daughters of the knowledge class, this exclusive environment is familiar. For underclass youth, college represents the first step toward alienation from their roots. Studies show that an overwhelming majority of the poorest students use their college degrees to leave their old neighborhoods behind permanently. Higher education orients students away from their home communities and points them toward the institutional protection of corporations and bureaucracies. In the name of equal access to higher education, universities remove the bright, poor kids whose neighborhoods need their leadership most, directing the young people toward joining the ruling elites. Thus, it could be said that colleges put a strain on the fabric of democratic society. Worse, however, higher education reinforces passivity. Students are forced to acknowledge the wisdom and expertise of their instructors, thereby gaining an undemocratic habit, unquestioning respect for authority. That learning and democracy are intimately connected, few doubt. Democracy functions best with the broadest distribution of economic and political responsibility. It is a difficult system which requires of its citizens good judgment, clear and cogent speech, and the capacity for decision. Debate, in which any and all ideas are called into question, is the best way to train to be a good citizen in a healthy democracy. And although universities should be the training ground for the skills necessary for good citizens, they fail to achieve this most important aim. Students listen uncritically to lectures. They are effectively excluded from classroom debate on the grounds of their incompetence. As a result, they have little or no use for the information inflicted on them in such large amounts. Under such conditions, it is not surprising that students fail to learn the skills of clear and cogent speech, or that so little of what they learn sticks. For it is debate itself, and debate alone, that gives rise to the desire for usable information. In the absence of democratic exchange, most people have no incentive to master the knowledge that would make them capable citizens. Instead, they become passive recipients of received wisdom, who will later use this knowledge to claim their status in the hierarchy of the elite. Yet, elitism goes against the spirit of democracy. In short, students, on the one hand, are knowledge class trainees, yet on the other hand, victims of the social conditions this class has created. If colleges train elites, and if the existence of elites undermines the democratic exchange needed for learning, then universities themselves are responsible for social arrangements that undermine learning. Higher education as a social institution helps defeat the aim that higher education should serve student by student. It is a worm swallowing its own tail.